You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
We're in a three-part series, and look, these three messages fit really nicely together as a three-parter. If you just hear today's message, I really want to encourage you to either listen to Pastor Glenn's message last week on generosity or next week's message on stewardship, because it's going to give you a little bit more context to financial wholeness and health as a big picture rather than what you're going to hear kind of in isolation as part of the three-part series today. So today's message, as Pastor Glenn alluded to last week, how good was the boss last week in the house? It was brilliant. Today's message is called From Tipping to Tithing. If you're taking notes, put that as the header, From Tipping to Tithing. And before we get started, I really want to promote a book that we're selling downstairs at the info point today. It's this book right here. It's called The World of the Generous, and it's been written and authored by none other than Richard Lake in the back row. Give us a wave, Rich. And it is all about the power and the joy of giving. Let me encourage you, it's a great read, easy read, filled with inspiration of a family, a couple themselves, who have lived this journey of giving, generosity, tithing. Look, the book's not to promote Rich, it's really not. In fact, he's so humble, he hasn't even put his name on the front of the book. It's called Generosity. That's the author, which is generosity. So he really doesn't want it to be about him, but it's to glorify and elevate God and the power of giving. So I'd love to encourage you to grab that downstairs. But look, I've got a copy to give away. So first hand up gets it. I think that was Grace. There you go. You caught my eye first. Get up for Grace. But she's so generous, she's going to pay for it anyway. That's just how she works. She's brilliant. You just can't help that woman but give. She's a woman of God. Look, we're going to kick off with some Bible, kind of anchor us. And the good news, folks, is I have an extra 10 minutes because it's the 10:30 service. So you're going to get more meat than 9 a.m. did. But that's because you check your emails on a Tuesday and you get your tickets and you sign up. So the Bible, let's go to the Bible. Rescue us. Matthew 6, verse 24, and then we'll jump to verse 33. Jesus speaking, saying, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Verse 33. "But seek first," everybody say, "seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you as well." From tipping to tithing. I remember back when I had first moved to Gloucester. I was probably a Christian about 6 years or so, and I had taken a job at an Elam church. I know Elam, God bless them. We're an AOG church, Elam church. Worked for Elam for a bit, youth pastor a couple days a week. And I had been a Christian for so long, but nobody had ever told me the principle of tithing. In fact, because it wasn't taught, it could never be caught. And so it was a principle I kind of heard whispers of, but really never experienced or knew what it was all about. And so I would sit in church in Northern Ireland, and they would pass the offering bucket down the row. And in fact, it wasn't quite a bucket. Those of you who've been going to churches for a long time, it was more like a bag, like a little duffel bag came down the row. It had a handle on either side. And you kind of put your money in, or you wouldn't. You'd most of the time let it pass by. But occasionally, you know, I thought I was being really, really generous, and I had a bit of loose change in my pocket a couple of weeks from working some waiter shifts the night before. So I just thought, you know, I've got some spare tips. I'll just give it in the offering. I'll just give it to God. I'm so generous. There's 50p. Yep, God can have my 50p. Danny, 50p. Oh, I'm brilliant. I've given in the bucket today. Fantastic. Praise God, I'm a generous person. The reality was I was tipping God. I was giving out of sympathy or reluctance or a sense of obligation, but I wasn't truly experiencing tithing and the joy that comes with giving. But because it was taught when I moved to Gloucester, it was caught as a principle in my life. And so just to give context before we get going, this isn't something that I'm giving you from my knowledge or just as an abstract theory, But consistently for the last 7 years of our marriage, and both independent before that, we have faithfully, month in, month out, tithed as a bedrock and a foundational pillar of our marriage and our life. So I'm not giving you context today as some pastor with nice ideas. This is something that we're living, have lived, and are experiencing. The reason, folks, is truly today we need to talk about the tithe. Why? Let me tell you some statistics. This will blow your mind. 5% of American churchgoers tithe. This is from Tithing Statistics 2025 by Van Gogh Payments. 5% tithe. This is 1.5 million out of 247 million United States Christians tithe. However, look at this. This is cool. 77% of those that do tithe give more than 10%. It's showing us the principle that once God does something in your heart, he begins to do more through your life. So they've caught the idea, the concept. They've experienced the radical breakthrough and the inner transformation that comes through tithing that they then can't help but give more. Now, this is cool. If every Christian tithed 10%, faith organizations would have an extra $139 billion each year. Let me tell you, we would never have to do another vision offering campaign. We would never have to have the youth team fundraising for youth program for Fridays. The kids ministry would never have to do another fundraiser if we all just caught this principle of tithing. So today, here's how I want to help. I really want to help us move from tipping to tithing, because the danger is if we merely tip God, we'll never live in the radical generosity and in his heart for our finances. And I, because I've lived it, we'd end up living stingy, depressed, upset, and we would never live in the life and life to the full that God has for us in this area of giving. So I want to help you today. Whatever stage of life, whether you feel like you've got it in your tithing or it feels a million miles away, or maybe today you've got every excuse in your mind how this cannot apply to you, I really want to help you as your pastor today. Activate the principle of tithing. Are you ready? Oh, I love it. There's faith in the 10-30. This is way better than the 9 already. All right. First point, don't tell them that, please. I can't get any more emails. Pastor Josh can. His inbox is empty. He's ready to receive the criticisms. All right, the first thing I want to help you understand is that tithing tests what we trust. Malachi 3, verse 8 says this, "But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God, but you rob me?" This is God speaking. "But you ask, how are we robbing you?" The Lord replies, "In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse." Wow. "Your whole nation, because you're robbing me." Verse 10. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this." This is the only place in the whole Old Testament, New Testament, Pentateuch, wrapper, the whole text that God instructs us to test him. The only place. "Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." Verse 11, "I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty." Verse 12, "Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land." Tithing tests what we trust. Now, let me tell you, next week, the message is on stewardship. Tithing will not save you from poor money habits, bad budget management, reckless financial behavior. I need you to understand that up front. God will definitely bless you, but he cannot bless my stupidity. He really can. And trust me, I have tried many times. And he does out of his mercy, but it's not the blueprint he wants for my life. So if you're here next week, you'll get it. If not, then please tune in. But tithing tests what we trust. Let me tell you, it doesn't mean that when you're tithing, every season of life financially is rosy, rainbows, you're an overflow. Far from it. Because what you sow in one season, you reap in another season. And you don't just reap financially, you reap in relationships and influence and lots of other different blessings in your life. But a moment that comes to mind was when Lisandra and I were sitting kind of on the precipice. Zainal was born, you know, I think it was a couple of months later, and we were trying to work out how we were going to do our finances, given that Lisandry was going to statutory maternity pay. And if you know how much that is, it's basically a fiver and a freddo. That's as much as you get from statutory maternity pay. We're trying to work out, how are we going to do our finances when you're off work for 10 months? So I was trying to do the budget, trying to get Lisandry's help, but she had had enough and said, I am out of here. And she got in the car and came to church because she's much more holier than I, and was coming to Creative on the Thursday night for worship team practice. And I'm sitting there on the budget, and I'm just, you know, a bit of a nerd. I was trying to cut all of the budget lines, reconcile stuff, work it out, spend less here, 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 here. Cut everything down, no holidays, no fun, nothing like that. And when I got to the end of it, I realized that we were going to be £200 down a month for the entirety of her maternity leave. And I sat there on the laptop, and I had a pity party for about 20 seconds. And then I stopped looking down at my problem and began to look up to the Lord. Now, that's a word for somebody today. Sometimes you've got to stop looking down at our problems and look up to the Lord. The Bible says, I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes to the from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So I began to look up and pray. And I said to God, God, we have tithed, I think at that time, 4 years faithfully in our finances. Lord, I have no idea how we're going to get out of this hole, but you do. So, Lord, I'm believing for a miracle. Or we're just going to see what happens. And I kid you not, this is no preacher embellishment, anything like that. That night, as I'm sitting at my laptop, I get a text message from our CFO at church who texts me and says, Lee, someone anonymously wants to gift you a certain amount of money, which to the pound was exactly how much we needed for the 10 months that Lisandra was going to have on maternity leave. I think God deserves a little round of applause for that. A miracle took place out of a posture and a position of tithing, testing what we trust. And I want to tell you today, God's not after your money, he's after your heart. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The Bible says the earth is his footstool and everything in it. If God needs something, all he has to do is sell a cow, in the words of Corrie Ten Boom. It's easy. The whole disposal of the universe is at his hands. So he's not after what's in your wallet, but he is after what is in your heart. Now at 10:30, the 9 a.m., I don't know if they were ready for this, but we're going to take this deeper. We're going to talk pre-law, Old Testament. But you've got your notebooks. You're ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
Fantastic. Let me take this a little bit deeper. Because some of you will say, maybe you're thinking already, but Pastor Lee, I hear this, but the tithing is an Old Testament principle. It's just in the Old Testament for the people of God from thousands of years ago to live out. Because I'm a New Testament believer, saved through Jesus, I don't need to follow the tithe. Let me help you see that the tithing first exists pre-law. Yeah. Tithing exists before the law was given. In fact, in Genesis 14, Abraham has this revelation in verse 20. He says that he would give a tenth of everything to the priest at the time called Melchizedek. Now, I don't have time to unpack Melchizedek, but Melchizedek is a foreshadow of Jesus. So he was giving his tenth as his from a position, a posture of true love and devotion to the priest of God. Then next happens is Jacob, some 14 chapters later in Genesis 28, 22. Jacob voluntarily says, and this store I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. So he's establishing God's house in this context. And he says here, and of all that you give me, I will give a tenth. So tithing exists before the law was written, and it was out of a place of pure devotion and love for God. And then look, tithing is written into the law. What is the law? 613 commandments that the Israelites were given to be right and in right standing with God as a blueprint for their life. And this is what Deuteronomy says in chapter 14, 22 to 23. It says, set aside a tithe, a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Then go to the one place where the Lord your God has chosen to be worshipped, and there in his presence, eat the tithes of your grain, wine, and olive oil, and the firstborn of your cattle and sheep. Sorry if you're vegan. Apologies. Do this so that you may learn to honor the Lord your God always. So here, the tithe has been written into the law. It was such a great idea and concept that it was then written into the law. Now, praise God that we don't live by the law, that you don't have a scroll of 613 commands you've got to get right this week. Otherwise, you've got to sacrifice some sheep to get right with God. Jesus was sent as the sacrificial lamb to pay the price for our sins that we could have a right relationship with God because of all of the bad things that we have done. The price has been paid, so we don't need to live to the standard of the law. We live through a life-giving relationship with Jesus. Is anybody thankful for that? I don't know about you, but I am. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to cut the sides of my beard. Some blokes are trying that, but with their hair at the back. I don't know if that's some sort of link, Danny and Judah, trying to live to the Old Testament. Mullets are back. In this context, we're not living according to the law anymore. We're living according to a relationship of grace through Jesus, which is wonderful. We've sang about it today. Wonderful, marvelous, righteous, amazing. But Jesus, post-law, does affirm the tithe. A lot of people say, well, you can't see in the New Testament anything about tithing. I challenge you there. In the Bible, it says this in Matthew 23:23. Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." That's encouraging, isn't it? "You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." In other words, practice justice, mercy, faithfulness without neglecting the former, which is the tithe. Now, if Jesus tells me not to neglect something, you betcha I'm going to try my best to not neglect it. Jesus affirms the tithe. And so today, the tithe is a timeless truth that existed pre the Bible and runs through both the Old and New Covenants into 2026. And the tithe tests what you trust. So do you trust God? Because if you trust God, you'll test him with the tithe. Why a tenth? Why is that significant? A tenth, 10%. 10, all through the Bible, is the number of testing. 10 plagues in Egypt. 10 commandments on the stone tablets. 10 spies that give a bad report instead of a faith report. A tenth is the number of testing. And so the tithe is not 2%. The tithe is 10%. But equally, the tithe is not 15% because the tithe literally means tenth. Literally means tenth. So when you bring your tithe and you bring extra, like the 77% of Americans that do, you're bringing your tithes and your offerings into the house of God because you've got to a place where you've been able to test God, see him come through and trust God, and you begin to see the flow of generosity and giving through your life and through your heart. God tests us and we test God. Come on, it's the only place in the whole Bible we're instructed to test him. Why would we not test him? Because you know what happens when you test him? That if it doesn't work out, you know what you do 6 months later? You just go back to the old way of living before. Nothing changes. But I want to challenge you today to trust the tithe, trust God for 6 months, and watch what he'll do in your life. The reality, folks, is this, is we've no problem trusting God with our sin, but for some reason, we've got a problem trusting God with our finances. What is the greater debt? What is the greater price? The debt that we owed God for our wrong. We've no problem with trusting Jesus' sacrifice is enough for our life today and eternity tomorrow. No problem at all. If you're a Christian in this place, you've experienced Jesus, you are living out salvation, you know you don't even have to hope, but you know that one day you're going to be with him in heaven and with all of us who've believed in God. But the price that it cost God for our salvation was his son, his bloodshed on the cross, the son of God paying the price, taking on the wrath of humanity. What an incredible debt that he paid for us. Why can we have no problem trusting him with our sin? But when it comes to our money, we go, "Thanks God, but no thanks. I'll do it myself. Come on, tithing tests what you trust. I want to challenge you today to trust God. 9 minutes, 30 seconds. Lord, help us. And Jesus exaggerated the law. So if Jesus was here today, I want to use a little bit of preacher's license, which hopefully you'll allow me to. Jesus wouldn't sit here and tell me that lay 2% okay. He would actually encourage me to go above and beyond the 10. Why? Because Jesus exaggerates the law. He doesn't come and simply say the law has been written off. You don't need to live to the standard anymore. In fact, he creates a greater standard for us to live by. Matthew 5, verse 7, Sermon on the Mount. Three times he says, you have heard it said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. That's the law. Then he comes with a new standard. He says, you've heard it said, don't murder. But now I tell you, if you're angry, you're subject to judgment. Don't commit adultery, but I tell you, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But now I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. He is exaggerating the law. So come on, tithing test what we trust. I want to dare you today to trust God with your giving. I tithe because I've experienced the supernatural breakthrough from God. I give as an act of thankfulness and obedience for all that he's done in my life. All he asked me for is a 10 and I get to keep 90. Wow. He asks me for 10 because he's after my heart. Because what happens is the 10 redeems the 90. You can either live 100% cursed or 90% blessed. I know I'd rather live 90% blessed. When I was a really broke youth pastor, let me tell you, I was walking from Solgold to Chester because my car had broke down. And I was having a pity party again, which is a similar theme of my Christian life, a little pity party. Walking down from Solgold to Chester when my car was in repair, they had said it was written off, it's no good, drive it home, but scrap it. And I'm walking down the cycle path, I'm literally crying. I'm saying, God, how can I be a volunteer youth pastor? I wasn't on staff at the time. Working two different jobs. How can I be a youth pastor with no car? How am I going to see the young people? And in that moment, everything within you is tempted to make a decision to stop tithing, to stop giving, to stop trusting God. But I said to God, God, I tithe, I'm testing you because I trust you, and I know you're going to come through in a supernatural way. A week later, someone came to visit me. They didn't know the story, circumstances, didn't know I needed a new car, but they had it on their heart to buy me a car. Tithing tests what you trust. And if you'll test him, you'll learn to trust him. And from trust, he'll meet all of your needs according to the glorious riches of Christ Jesus. The second thing tithing does, you got to understand, is tithing honors God. It honors God. In Proverbs 3, get some water, please. Thank you so much. Proverbs 3, 9 to 10. Go on, someone read from the screen. Pastor Josh. Yeah.
Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops.
There you go.
Then your barns will be overflowing and your vats will brim new wine. Thank you, buddy. So honor the Lord with your first fruits. Thank you so much, Dex. Appreciate it. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. The first thing that comes out of your bank account, at least ours, is the tithe. Every single month, we're trusting God, and it's a prophetic declaration and expectation of what's to come, that we're trusting God that he's going to sort our month out because we've put him right at the start. We're honoring God. And look what happens when you honor God. Your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. There is a promise that is activated the moment we honor him. Now, let me tell you, some of you today, you're in sticky situations and you've been tithing and trusting God and you're maybe on the brink of going back. I want to encourage you to stay faithful because the miracle is just around the corner. God is about to do something supernatural in your day that you wouldn't even believe if he told you. That is who God is. In fact, King David writes in Psalms, he says, I once was young, but now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Catch this. They are generous and lend freely, and their children will be blessed. Don't know about you. I want to live that kind of life where my children are blessed. Some of you today, you're breaking off generational curses in your life. Poverty ran in the family till it ran into you. Divorce ran in the family till it ran into you. Sickness ran in your family till it ran into you. Depression ran in your family till it ran into you. Come on. I'm believing today that God's going to bless you as you trust him. And as you give and as you honor God with the principle of the first fruits, honor always causes us to live and act differently. And when it comes to faith, the currency we pay to honor God is tithing. Yeah. It's the currency that we pay to honor God. Yes, faith, but also giving in faith. Yeah. Look, honor always causes us to live differently. When you go and meet someone, you honor them by shaking their hand, don't you, Judah? And standing to your feet, looking them in the eyes. That's honor. Honor is showing up to meetings early and not late. Honor means when you go to meet the king, you bow. Pretend King Charles is over there. And if you're a woman, you curtsy. Very good. Much better than Miles in the 9 a.m. Very good. Jeans are wide enough. Yeah, exactly. It's honor. And so when you catch this principle as a lifestyle, and I know for a lot of people in this room, I'm preaching to the choir, but I both want to encourage you if you do tithe and inspire you if you don't. Because we've caught this principle in our life, we can't help but want to give more. And so what we do at the start of every year, we sit down with the budget and we work out, okay, how much more are we going to increase our giving this year? And we've always, the last 3 years at least, we've always increased the percentage. Sometimes it's by a little because you have a baby and childcare is like 3 million quid a year. Still increase it a little bit. So right now we're on 12.1% of our net, 15% gross. We're just catching this principle, folks, that we want to be people that trust God with the tithe and with giving. So I know many of you do. One day we'll get to 20%. But I want to tell you a story about a couple who've already beat us miles ahead. It's by Rick and Kay Warren, who wrote the book Purpose Driven Life. Who's read that book? Give us a wave. Look at that. The best-selling book in American history. Banj, you can come help me as I land this. The best-selling book in American history. They've sold 30 million copies of that book. 30 million copies. But Kay and his, Rick and his wife Kay, they're what's called reverse tithers. They keep the 10 and they give away 90. Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. They keep 10 and give 90. You might say, well, that's fine for somebody that sold 30 million books. 10% is probably a lot of money for them. And it's true. But they didn't just wake up one morning and decide, right, today's the day. Now that the book sales have come in, we're giving 90. They, every single year of their marriage, this is where we caught this idea from, they increased their giving. Some years it was by 0.25% when things were tough. Other years it was by 0.5%. But they made a decision to keep increasing. And now they're in their latter years of life, let's say, and they're living out this principle where they're giving away 90 and keeping 10. And when asked, he says, why did God make my book the best-selling book in American history? And Rick's reply is this. He says, because God knew what I would do with the money. Because he gives 90 and he keeps 10. Third point, your tithe is an expectation of what's to come. And so when you're giving, your faithful tithing, you are prophesying and declaring that God's going to bring miracles and breakthroughs in your life. Look, you better be praying that God will bless you because I am. The prayer of Jabez is this. Jabez prays in Chronicles. He says, oh Lord, that you would bless me. Some of you have got to start praying that prayer because there's a spirit in the UK in Britishness, it's a poverty spirit that believes to be holy is to be poor. That will rob you from living life and life to the full in God, and it will keep the church broke, and it will keep the church from moving forward in the things of God. Because to be poor is not to be holy, and the same is true of being wealthy. Doesn't mean that some of the most generous people I know are some of the poorest in terms of what they have. Some of the most stingy are the most wealthy. Not because I know what people are giving, but because I know the stories. I know the heart. I know what's taking place. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given back to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. For the measure you use will be measured back to you. And so tithing isn't the finish line, it is the start line. William Carey says, if you'll expect great things for God, you've got to attempt great things for God. Jesus says in Acts 20:35, they recall what he had once said. The Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It makes no sense in mathematics. It makes no sense in culture. But something supernatural starts to take place when you trust God with your giving, that Jehovah Jireh is my provider, that the boss isn't my provider, the bank's not the provider, the mortgage isn't the provider, but Jehovah Jireh is my provider. Let me tell you, the most fun thing you can do with money is to give it away. The most fun. You can spend it, save it, give it. The most fun. And the resource I plugged at the start will tell you all about that. Many of you know this already. I want to encourage you today that the tithe is your attitude of gratitude. It's how you express your thankfulness of all that God has done in your life and in your heart. I give because I'm thankful. Thankful that God's blessed me. Thankful that when I was a broke youth pastor, he gave me a car. Thankful that when I had no money in the bank account for food that weekend, some randomer in church put £30 into my hand, unknown, unannounced, to get me by. Let me tell you, the tithe doesn't save you from stupidity, but God will show you his mercy, his grace, his love when you step out in faith. So today, church, you got to test the tithe. And do you know what happens? You test the tithe for 6 months. 6 months. 10% every month, 6 months. And do you know what happens after 6 months if your heart's not changed, your life's not been transformed, God's not done a miracle in your world? You can stop tithing. Easy. But Pastor Josh gives you a money-back guarantee that after 6 months you're not blessed, he'll foot the bill because he's not the provider. Come on. My God will meet all of your needs according to the glorious riches in Christ, Philippians says. So today, let me encourage you to test the tithe. Finally, in Matthew 6:21, it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your heart? Where's your heart today? Has God got your heart? That's what I want to ask. Has God got your heart? Because today he wants to do something in you so that he can do something through you. And tithing isn't twisting God's arm, it's living in overflow. And so you're not praying and pleading to God's reluctance, you're praying to his willingness and his favor. This is not prosperity gospel where you put one coin in the slot machine and three come out. That is not what this is, because what you sow in one season, you reap in another. Or perhaps you don't reap in any season at all because your reward is in heaven. That's why you got to see your treasure with supernatural eyesight, that even if I don't reap a reward here on earth, I got a treasure in heaven. Great theologian said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes, life as a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. All of us have this short period of time on earth. I want to challenge you, test the tithe and store up for yourself treasure in heaven and watch what God will do in your heart and in your world. So what we're going to do in a moment, we're going to do a praise song, we're going to do a praise offering, we're going to dance, celebrate with thankfulness. We're going to take our eyes off of our circumstances and lift our eyes to the Lord. Because regardless of where you are today, whether you're in lack or you're in plenty, whether you're starting or you're years down the line, all of us have got something to be thankful for. And you can't help but give when you're thankful. And all of us have a reason to thank him. Come on, some of you are married today, you shouldn't be married. But praise God, he gave you a beautiful wife, Pastor Josh. Some of us, we could still be sick, but God healed us. Some of us should be unemployed, but God provided a miraculous job. Look at what he's done. Sons and daughters in our life. Yes, life's not perfect, but we can put a smile on our face because of all that he's done. Come on, right now, put a smile on your face.
Thank you for listening to this audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.